guys give a warm welcome to Giacomo Zucco. He's going to be moderating our next panel. Let's welcome him up to the stage. He is going to help kill some time and do whatever you want to do.
Okay. The fact that my wife got the watch is nothing prepared. So there is everything is fair, I promise. There was no coordination. She's just too good. So we are going to introduce a panel about covenants. We will go straight into the discussion with James Olop and Paolo Arduino and Adam Beck that I will call on stage in a couple of minutes. But before, I just wanted to give a very brief introduction. Who knows what Bitcoin covenants are? Raise your hands. So we understand if we have to start from, well, okay. Who will be very, very bored if I explain again what Bitcoin covenants are? One, two. Okay, sorry for your loss, guys. So, in Bitcoin, you can spend some sats and you send them to what you call a Bitcoin address, right? When you spend on chain. This Bitcoin address encodes a series of conditions to spend again. Trivially, the most simple condition is you have to have the private keys corresponding to some public keys. So very simple. You have the address, like an IBAN address, and you have the key, like a password. This is a very simple kind of address. Then Bitcoin also has a smart contract system. Who in the audience were thinking that only shitcoins have smart contracts? Raise your hand. Good, good. You're scared. Good. Bitcoin actually does have a very capable smart contract system. It's based on very simple primitives, multi-signature, hash pre-image, and lock times, relative lock times, absolute lock times. So it's basically, you like in a bank account, you can do one signature over two, or two signature over threes, or you can delay the payment of 3 months, 3 years, block some money for some times, and that's a contract, a smart contract. But what you cannot do is to encumber these coins after the next spending. So you encumber these coins with this contract, but once the contract is satisfied, the coins are free to go wherever they want. The idea of covenants is to give additional condition after that in which you can say, okay, if you have this private key, you can spend, but the people you spend it to must also satisfy this additional condition. This seems like something, let's imagine this. You have a pirate's treasure chest, you have the key, you open, there is the treasure. Now it's yours. Covenants are like this. There's a treasure chest, you open it, and inside there is another treasure chest with a different key. And now you have to satisfy the second condition. This seems useless complication, but it's not, because it's very important to, for example, create second layers like Lightning that work better because they don't need synchronous communication. Right now in Lightning, you have to coordinate with the other party to open a channel, to close a channel. With this kind of covenants smart contracts, we can actually make better smart contracts. The point is that we have to change the rules in order to do that. And we will debate about when, how to change these rules. So I call on stage our panelists. The first one is James Olop, and he works at Casa, and he's also very vocal about Bitcoin innovation. You are at the center. And then I call up Paolo Arduino. You know him already. He was already, I think he's up there. Okay. I mean, no introduction needed, right? I guess he's also on the top list of favorite Italians, right? And then the party animal, the cypherpunk legend, Adam Beck, that is with us right now.
Nice t-shirt.
Just another clarification before we start. I have this t-shirt of the Lugano soccer team. I'm the only Italian who never played soccer in his life, but they work with Plan B Lugano, so I am proud to wear this. So, guys, covenants. There are at least three different debates we can have here. The first debate is about changing Bitcoin rules again at the fundamental level. I know that Jameson already had a debate about that in Lugano Plan B Forum. Jameson is advocating for changing the rules again continuously because innovation is necessary for Bitcoin, and especially right now, while other people, notoriously, Michael Saylor, but even real Bitcoiners like Jimmy Song was debating against Jameson about that. They tend to favor the idea of eventual ossification of the fundamental rules. The second debate is if we want to change the protocol rules, is the introduction of covenants the actual priority right now? And we may have some discussion about that, but I assume that, for example, Adam Beck was promoting the idea of this simplicity soft fork that could basically encompass covenants and many, many, many other things in order to be basically what he calls the last soft fork. And then the third question is, if we assume that we need to change the rule and the covenants are a priority, which one? Because there are several incompatible proposals competing right now for mind share and approval among Bitcoin developers. And my opinion is that we are very, very far away from reaching a consensus. So let's start. I will go first with the first question to Jameson, but of course, Paolo and Adam, feel free to weigh in. Do we really need to change Bitcoin right now? Taproot, I remember I was celebrating Taproot activation in El Zonte in 2021. Sure, it's 4 years, but it doesn't seem like Taproot is finished to be implemented, used, explored. So for some people, maybe it's too soon to fight about the next activation where we still have to harvest the power of the last one. We know about Taproot assets. There are other applications in security, but is Casa fully supporting Taproot scripts, for example? So that's the angle I want to give to the first question.
Right. Now, I think need is probably the wrong question because Bitcoin doesn't need anything. Like, Bitcoin will be fine. I think the real question is, how does Bitcoin evolve? How does the rest of the world evolve if we do or do not add certain functionality? And so I think the TapScript stuff is a good example where Casa has not implemented that. We would like to get to that point and especially be able to do Schnorr signatures, but we have so many dependencies on a lot of the hardware manufacturers being able to support stuff that we haven't been able to do that. But it's still fine. Like, it's great that some other people are able to take advantage of functionality even though we aren't. And I think that should generally be the case whenever we're talking about changing Bitcoin. It's not so much do I personally need or want it, but do other people need or want it, and can they use it without harming me?
Paolo, even if I promise to skip to the next question, I think you also have a take about changing Bitcoin in general. I mean, the ETFs are here. Michael Saylor is talking with the ETF guy. Do you think we still can change Bitcoin rules in general besides covenant?
Yeah, to me, it's not about what is the best outcome for Bitcoin. I believe that I'm a simple man. I see what is going around. I see that there is a lower and lower incentive from the biggest holders of Bitcoin, that you still could argue that they are not the decision makers. But I think that there is a lot of pressure for not changing Bitcoin coming from people that and institutions that are investing a lot of money in Bitcoin. So I think any change that should have happened in Bitcoin should have been done before 2024. Now I feel like maybe it still can happen. But very pragmatically, I think that the chances, the probability of any change to happen to Bitcoin are becoming lower and lower, just because there is a lot of pressure I heard that there is a lot of pressure to Bitcoin Core developers to not focus on structural changes to Bitcoin. And I think, honestly, I'm happy either way. Either it's ossified or not, I think that the community shall decide. I think that is kind of sad to see that eventually now Bitcoin became so institutionalized that people with a lot of money will do huge campaigns to try to block any further change to Bitcoin that could impair and cause potential financial losses. If you are a Bitcoin ETF and you are custodying 800,000 Bitcoin, why you should take the risk of something goes wrong, even if there is a 0.001% of something goes wrong, going wrong, why you should take that risk. Same can go to the you know, the newly acquired biggest holders of Bitcoin. So to me, it's kind of an interesting trade-off. Also, the other difficult incentive is that sticking your neck out in this moment is very challenging, right? So you might end up in doing, for example, becoming associated to what happened with Bitcoin Cash, Bitcoin Satoshi Vision, and so on. So you won't
on the wrong side of a civil war.
Exactly, right? So even sticking your neck out to support in a strong way one of the different covenant solutions might get you under a huge amount of attack. And, you know, it's part of life. I think Bitcoin became very much like you need to be a very good politician now to navigate all these different situations. And so, you know, it will be very entertaining to see what will happen in the future. I'm just content either way.
Good. So pragmatic and descriptive more than prescriptive. Adam, if we assume we can coordinate to change Bitcoin once again or a few times again or forever, what are your thoughts about competing ideas, not just within the covenant proposals, but in general? Like, can you explain what simplicity is, but also what the great consensus cleanup is, if there are other ideas that maybe are circulating from many years but are now forgotten, like cross-input signature aggregation. Just give us, please, a panoramic on different proposals that and your opinion about the priority among these proposals.
Yeah, I mean, I think it takes a long time to get changes into Bitcoin. Starts with a problem statement that people think that they have a use case that is difficult to do or hard to do securely, and then different candidate solutions. And of course, if there are sort of, it kind of becomes like a language design debate, which is about aesthetics and arguments. So there are other languages, like the C language had some big debates about the preprocessor. And so it becomes a more fierce debate when it's about some small choice about which option is used, because the option has to be supported forever into the future. And so from that point of view, simplicity in a way is a simpler debate because it's very, very low level. There are 9 operators and you can do everything with them. So the question is not, you know, do you want this covenant or that covenant? The question is, do you want extensibility or not? And people generally want that, right? Now, simplicity is probably a bit early to be talking about that for Bitcoin. So we're hoping to get it into Liquid. We have a release candidate to go live in Liquid. So we're hoping that, you know, this quarter we should have that live in Liquid. So that's probably in Bitcoin time, looking at previous sort of timeline between Schnorr signatures in Elements and Schnorr signatures in Bitcoin. I think it was 8 years. So, you know, you're looking at a long time, but it's there as a potential candidate last soft fork because it's low enough level that you can implement other opcode like functionality without needing a soft fork and without having a design debate about which it's roughly for programmers like the debate between RISC processors and CISC processors. So Bitcoin script is a bit like CISC. So you've got these lumpy operators that do weird things like floating point or matrix multiply or SHA-256 in an opcode, right? Whereas the simplicity is more like the RISC approach. You've got something very low level. You can do everything with it. You don't need as many operators, right? So I think that's in the future, but I think it's important to keep progressing the expressivity of Bitcoin scripts. One sort of important benchmark is, can you transfer security from the base chain to layer twos and sidechains and things like that? Now, of course, that's a bit of an R&D area in itself, but I think it's important to have expressivity to enable those things, because if we achieve that benchmark robustly, then we can have faster innovation in a permissionless way, in a safe way, in the layer two. So if you get to that world, I think you still want some expressivity improvements, anything focused on cold storage, vaults, And so I think covenants are in play for that and for improving the efficiency of Lightning.
Thank you, Adam. Jameson, yeah, we can clap, we can clap. Jameson, simplicity is one option. You can do everything with it eventually with some caveats. And then on the other extreme, we have check template verify, very simple, very clear, super studied, super tested. Then we have L-enhance, which is a check template verify plus check signature from stack, plus internal key in order to improve Lightning. Then we have op vault or secure the bag, which are security specific opcodes. Then we have cat. This hack in order to do different things in a very efficient way. Then we have MET, Merkleize all things, this proposal to basically extend Merkleization introspection. So can you give us a bit of assuming we want to change Bitcoin and we can, assuming covenants are the first priority, is there any clear consensus emerging and what's your opinion about the status of consensus formation about that?
Yeah, I mean, there's like 8 or 9 different proposals out there in various stages. Over the past few months, there has been a concerted effort on the Bitcoin Wiki to try to actually visualize what the rough consensus looks like. So there is a covenants support page with a matrix of all of these different proposals. And then anyone who wants to, who has an opinion, especially if you have an informed opinion where you're willing to write up your own evaluation of the different proposals, you can just go on there and submit your approve, disapprove, and so on of what you like and dislike. And very roughly, because this is rough consensus, right? This is not a democracy. It seems like CTV, CAT, and OpCheck Sig from Stack have the most rough consensus with the fewest well-formed technical objections. There are, of course, plenty of personality objections to some of these proposals. But, I think the question should be, what do we get from them? And so, Paolo mentioned there's a lot of big institutional holders, whales, and probably a lot of people in this room, myself included, who have the vast majority of your net worth, hundreds of millions or billions of dollars of your money or other people's money that are in Bitcoin now. And so we're becoming very risk averse. And I think we're at this inflection point that's very similar to something that's called the innovator's dilemma, where we have to decide, are we willing to continue taking risks in order to reap more rewards? And if we don't do that, what are the consequences? So covenants can do so many different things, whether it's better security, which I would think that the institutional people would want, and I would think that the whales would want. And most importantly, I think, is scalability, especially making layer twos better. We've been saying for many years now, you don't need to change Bitcoin because you can just do everything on a layer two. That's only half correct. We could greatly boost our ability for people to do permissionless innovation and make much better layer twos so that people can move their Bitcoin back and forth between different layers.
Are you on the wiki expressing your preference?
No, see, that's the interesting thing. No one on this stage is on that wiki. So it's kind of funny that we're up here talking about it. And it's also funny we only have 20 or 30 minutes because this is an incredibly complicated topic.
Yeah, right. So, Paolo, last time we discussed this in Plan B Forum Lugano, I was a panelist with you. And so I had an opinion. Now I'm a moderator, so I cannot express it. So I will try to trick you into expressing the same opinion. Jameson was talking about personalities. We remember debate about SegWit. During the SegWit times, there was some technical merit in the SegWit2x proposal. This is good, this is too much. But eventually we ended up with basically a four times increase in the total capacity with the discount, which is even more than the 2x, is basically a 4x. Of course, with a soft fork, no, not with a hard fork. So there was a technical debate. But much of the debate was about intention, politics, game theory, precedents. For example, we say that this proposal is technical, but there is a hidden reason to do covert ASIC boost. This proposal is a way to bribe miners to do something or to give a precedence of more control to miners. So do you think that this kind of argument can also have a weight in the present discussion, including the you know, Bitcoin phase two rhetorics of some shitcoin companies? Or do you think that we should stick only with technical consideration, ignoring the politics and the personalities and the intentions?
Well, definitely, I would prefer to avoid the politics. I think that the beauty of Bitcoin to me is that is money governed by math, and there is no politics in math. I mean, there is just right or wrong. And so I feel like the finalist of a beauty pageant, where I want the peace in the world and everyone to be happy. But actually, I think that tech arguments should always win. I think that the security is the most important argument, followed by actual practicality of the implementation and the fact that it provides the highest range of improvements. Again, I completely agree with Jameson in the sense that there is so much opportunity to improve layer twos. In this moment, we have different solutions. We have Liquid, we have Lightning, we have a few others. But definitely the orchestration, and there are some hacks and some incredible complexity that needs to happen in order to create these layer twos. So if we could have a good solution, one of the different covenants implemented, or will be the greatest outcome. Honestly, eventually, with you can see that with Ethereum. Now everyone is launching layer twos. It's so easy to launch layer twos on Ethereum, and if that will become also reality on Bitcoin, I'm pretty sure that people will say, oh, well, now all the scams are also on Bitcoin. But honestly, I don't care. I just care that Bitcoin will become the biggest and most used security layer in the world. It is already, but definitely with covenants, with one of the covenants, we will increase the use cases. We will make it so easy to use Bitcoin for securing real world assets, real estate, the $1 trillion economy in the world. But again, it's not about tech. Will be only about politics. I'm disillusioned by the fact that at this point we can easily change Bitcoin without one of the big ego personalities being actually in huge support of this change.
So I failed tragically to plant my opinion into Paolo, but that's fair. I will go back to Jameson for a moment and then back to Adam. Jameson, you mentioned security, and then we all discussed improving layer twos. Can you explain to me, like I'm five, not just years old, but also IQ, what is a vault? Because maybe raise your hands if you know what is a Bitcoin vault. One. Oh, three, true. Okay, this could be useful, because the covenant discussion actually started out with vaults. But the people always failed to convince me that you can do much more than you can already do with a multisig with a time lock. While I started to be convinced about covenants when I heard about non-interactive Lightning channels and this kind of payment approach. So can you give a very short explanation of what you can do with the covenant from a security point of view? So just trust us without verifying that covenants can improve Lightning. I think that's uncontroversial. But how can covenants really improve security? Can you give a very little explanation?
Yeah, so as you explained before we started, the way that a Bitcoin address works is it's basically like a lockbox. You are describing the conditions that are required to unlock that Bitcoin and be able to move it. And the covenants take a different approach, where we're not only saying, okay, this is what's required to move the Bitcoin, but we're looking forward in time and we're saying, oh, and also these are additional restrictions on what the Bitcoin can do, where it can move, what the future spending conditions are going to be. So when I look at this from a security perspective, I actually see vault-type technology as kind of a completely new side of security that we've never had before. Basically, up until this point, the only real security you've had for Bitcoin is proactive security, which means you have to set up some really, really highly secure set of conditions, and you better hope that they never get compromised, because if they get compromised, it's game over. Nobody can get your Bitcoin back. Now, with Vault, we would be able to have a sort of reactive security. So you have your initial proactive spending conditions. However, if you're doing vaults and thinking ahead of time, if your initial locking security conditions get compromised somehow, it's not game over. You can actually see if those funds get compromised, they're only going to a place that you have already predetermined, where you will have other exit conditions, you know, escape hatches, essentially ways to get your Bitcoin back before the attacker can then move on to an arbitrary address that cannot be confiscated.
So Kesa Hodler model will change dramatically with Covenant. You would use it for security, actually.
We would love to use it at Casa, and I would think that like every major institutional provider would love to have that additional layer of security.
Thanks. Adam, last question is to you. With blocks, well, sure. Adam, last question is for you. Blockstream created Liquid, and Liquid is not just a layer of fast settlement for exchanges or for assets. Now it's a layer to open Lightning channels, swap into Lightning or out of Lightning, like with Aqua or Bull Bitcoin wallet. So Liquid is very interesting for its functionalities. But it's also interesting as a test bed for Bitcoin, because it's a sidechain, it's another thing with another mechanism, but it's the same code base of Bitcoin extended to some degree. Basically, the claim of Litecoin, we are the test bed for Bitcoin, is actually true for Liquid without even having a shitcoin. So Liquid is the test bed for Bitcoin. And as a testnet for Bitcoin, it introduced a lot of things. Now it will introduce simplicity. This was a bad gaffe. But yeah, there are some counterpoints. Simplicity, but before, you already introduced Opcat, which is working on top. And Andrew Polstra in Blockstream was the guy actually discovering the trick with Schnorr and Opcat in order to do covenants in a weird way. So the question to you is, being that Liquid can do covenant since a pretty long while, even if maybe not very efficiently, do you see any activity in that direction? I mean, are people trying to use these new tools to build something? I know this question may not be entirely fair, because the security model of Liquid is different because there is a federation, so maybe the incentives are not the same. But I think it's still interesting to see if people are using Covenants on Liquid or not.
Yeah, so the original version of Covenants in Liquid has already two methods, Opcat and Checksig Brimstack. So you can combine them, you can use them separately. And after some years of experience of people using that and looking at, you know, the actual programs that you write and how many opcodes it takes to do things, we added a revision. So we added about 30 helper functions to do with serialization a few years ago. And that enables you, it adds sort of streaming hashes, serialization, things like that. So it's improved the programmability. And yeah, people have tried things. So some layer twos have implemented themselves on Liquid, basically becoming a layer three, to show, to test that it works. You know, like one of the Arc implementations actually implemented on Liquid. Another interesting point with the different opcodes, you can implement them on Liquid using CAT or CSFS. And so you can sort of, for example, the original Lightning opcode, which is not exactly a covenant, but it's similar. They were able to implement that in some number of instructions using CSFS. So there's some kind of Turing completeness of covenant opcodes where it's interesting to show that, you know, this one can implement that one, but that one can't implement this one. That tells you something about the power and flexibility of the opcodes. So some people have tried that on Liquid as well.
Thank you very much. A big round of applause for our panelists. Our time is over.